We Like Dota, episode number 33, starts now.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to We Like Dota. This is We Like Dota, the internet's casual Dota 2 podcast. I'm Brian Sabone-Yinger, and joining me this week is the internet's curmudgeon, internet's Dota 2 curmudgeon, who also happens to be on vacation, Ben Yadneb Day.
Hello.
Hi, Ben.
Hi.
How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. How are you?
You are extra sassy today.
Potentially. Not sure.
No, that's not even potentially. It's a fact.
Ben. Okay, yeah.
You've
hung out with me the last 15 minutes, so you should know.
Yeah, the Yadneb sass factor is in full effect here.
Sass factor is crazy. Okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
So, Jared is on vacation this week.
I'm also on vacation, and I'm still here.
Yeah, I don't know what poor bet you lost there.
I don't know.
Where you have to take a vacation and spend it with me.
I don't know either, but it sucks.
Jared is enjoying our country's Atlantic coast.
Why am I here in Ohio to begin with?
The weather is great, I'll tell you that.
It's nice out.
Nice day here in Northeast
beautiful.
Ohio.
I'm looking outside your screen window, and outside of the stink bug that is crawling on the screen, it is a beautiful day outside.
It's fine.
Yeah. And there's no spiders, not a killer spider, at least.
Right. That spider. That will forever live in infamy. Okay, anyway.
Or be forgotten at some point in time.
Hopefully.
Probably just going to be forgotten.
All right, Ben, let's get the show started. Get the show started. As we always do. We
always get the show started.
Yeah. We'll start with who'd you play. The show's off the rails already.
Yeah, it's going well so far. Didn't play a lot of Dota this past week, but I played kind of went to my old standbys. I went with a Luna and a little bit of Viper.
Okay.
And then tried techies just in some bot matches. I didn't want to do it.
You and I did a bot match that went horribly wrong.
It was bad. Yeah, I didn't want to do a techies in a public match and make people... I mean, I know he's always getting picked anyways, but I didn't want to be that guy.
Right.
So did a little bit of that. And we'll talk about techies later.
Techies are here. It's actually part of the episode title, and we'll talk about that later.
I didn't know we had a title for the episode. That's great.
Oh, yeah.
So yeah, did that, and then been playing some Wolfenstein. So on the PS4.
The new one?
The new one. Yeah, Yeah, it has some kind of subtitle, which I can't recall what the subtitle is, but it's a new Wolfenstein game, so.
Do you kill Nazis in that?
You do kill Nazis.
Nazis.
You kill Nazis?
Nazis.
Yeah. Space Nazis, I think. I don't know. There's
Space Nazis.
There's like robots and
okay.
Yeah. I don't know. It's fun. It's actually in terms of I think it's a single player only game. If there's multiplayer, I haven't explored it. I don't think there is. I haven't seen an option for it. And it's probably one of the better single-player shooters I've played in a while.
All right, that's
fair. And the Battlefields and Call of Duties, they just kind of are in their own little groove. And
yeah.
They're pretty boring nowadays. The Halo games have been pretty good. But
yeah,
outside of that, I think the shooter genre is just kind of like, I don't know. It's just
I am ready for this new Unreal Tournament game that's coming out.
Yeah, that will be fun.
Yeah.
The one that's going to be community built mostly, right?
Community, yeah, like open source and community build, and I think that's going to be a big deal.
I think that will be good. Yeah, I'm excited for that. But killing Nazis works. I mean, that's a classic.
That's a classic. It
tends to work well in video games. So
yeah. Okay. It worked for South Park.
It works for South Park.
Whoa, spoiler alert. Whoa.
Wait a second.
Yeah.
I don't know what you're talking. I haven't gotten that far, so confusion.
Oh, you haven't beat that one yet?
No, you know, and
it's
Ben. You spoil more of the game every time I talk to you. So
oh man!
Last time I share my Steam library with you. Thanks, Valve. Thanks, Volvo.
Volvo, please.
That's a feature that's backfired,
right?
But anyways, yeah, been playing a little bit of that, and
good.
Playing a little bit of Dota, and
trying
to enjoy some vacation. So I'll probably do a lot of gaming this week. I've got a Destiny getting shipped out to me. That's the new shooter from...
When's that coming?
From Bungie. Should be arriving on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll have a report on that in a couple weeks. I won't be here next week because of vacay, but...
Wait, I thought you said you were going to... Oh, right. Gotcha.
Depending on when we tape, I guess it depends
the next
on when
episode.
We record. The next episode.
Right.
Depends on when we record.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's got Destiny on the way. And
so for your vacation this week, are you going to get some Dota matches in?
I will. Yeah, okay. I got to catch up on... You gave me some homework. I got to catch up on my Weaver match still from a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
And then we'll do the hero and item of the week from this week, and then I'll play some recreationally as well.
Are there any heroes that you're itching to learn or get to get acquainted with over this next week, Ben?
No. I mean, I was curious about techies, but yeah, I don't have any. It's vacation, so I don't have any goals in mind with what to do in Dota. I just want to go and been having fun with random draft because I never remember to draft, and I just get it's always a mystery. It's fun.
Yeah.
It's like biting into one of those mystery chocolates. You don't know what you're going to get. Yeah. You just kind of go into random draft. You pretend like you know what you're doing and that you intend to draft somebody, but you just let the game do it for you.
We did do a random draft, you and I, and you actually, you made an effort to draft, but you didn't click the button before the timer ran up.
Right. So I really see random draft as a mode that I can go into, and it's like picking, it's like pushing the random button, but you don't actually push the random button.
Yeah.
But since you're not actually pushing the random button, you don't get flamed by your team.
Correct.
So to me, it works. I like it.
Yeah. And you're generally not going to wind up with terrible comps either.
Well, of course you could.
You could, right? But you generally don't.
Well, I don't know if I've experienced that or not.
It's my preferred game mode now.
I like it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I'm horrible at paying attention. I think Valve really needs to add a sound when you're drafting.
I do agree.
That's all I want.
They have it
sound.
In captain's mode and everything.
Yeah,
so.
they just need a sound.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'll stop whining about that, but it's okay.
It's okay.
Who'd you play, Brian?
That's what
people want to know is who did Sabone play?
People don't care.
Why do we do this then?
I don't know. Because we like to listen to ourselves talk, I guess.
I don't really like that.
I do. I love it.
I guess I'm here because you tell me or invite me to come here.
Right.
That's why I'm here.
I invite you over and then you whine about it.
Then
the
I whine
time.
And complain the whole time. And
so, okay, we had team practice on Friday night, Ben. And
I think I was there.
I experienced over the entire night an unprecedented 5-0 win streak.
Was I there for this?
You were.
Wow, okay.
Well,
good for
you
us.
Were I think you were only there for 3 matches, I think, or something like that.
Maybe 4.
I had one before you showed up and one after. And I don't know.
I contributed to the majority of your wins.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened, Ben, but something was going right and we did great.
Great. Good for us.
Good for us.
I barely even recall this happening, so that's great.
So I played, I've been enjoying some Death Prophet lately.
Yeah.
I have an unprecedented 100% win rate on Death Prophet.
How many games?
I think like 5 or 6.
So statistically insignificant, one might say.
Technically, statistically insignificant, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But you're tooting your own horn anyways, it's fine.
As my father says, if you don't toot your own horn, nobody will.
Probably true.
Mm-hmm. Papa Sabone. I also played some Venomancer and Dazzle. I've never really played Dazzle before.
Yeah, I remember you played a Dazzle game. That was fun.
That was great. Yeah. I just like stacked up basically healing items.
I liked that. We had a weird comp that game, didn't we?
We did. I was Jared.
Was I Elder Titan?
You were Elder Titan. Jared had this crazy draft for us that involved Elder Titan, I think Death Prophet, Dazzle, and I forget who else.
It was weird, but it worked.
Yeah.
I think it was a little rough early on, though.
And we played, this is the match we played against Omni Knight. And
we never went against Omni Knight. We're like 0-12.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I think Dazzle works well against Omni Knight. You see him pop the Guardian Angel. We pop the Weave and try to, you know, delay the fight until Guardian Angel wears off.
But you would want to pop the Weave after Guardian Angel wears off.
No, right as Guardian Angel goes down. Because
why was that?
Weave takes a little bit of time to come into effect. It lasts like 30 seconds. And on people it lands
but it won't
on.
But it won't do anything while Guardian Angel's up, right?
No, it will.
Guardian it still does. Is that the physical damage blocker? Okay.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. Then that's fine then.
Yeah. So it works out really well, Ben.
Good. It worked out fine. That's
and
great.
And then I also played some Mirana.
Yeah. I always like your Mirana. You play.
I
a good
haven't
Mirana.
Played Mirana in a while, and Jared wanted to put me on.
I do think
Mirana.
You missed a lot of the arrows.
Barely though. A lot of them
were
really
they were real close. Yeah.
No, I'm with you there.
It's like an action movie when they would go right over somebody's shoulder or something. But you did miss.
Yeah, there was probably a lot of times where I went, oh, come on! You know, that kind of stuff.
I recall that. Yeah, that was a lot of that.
And I also played some Diablo 3, of course, Ben.
You did? You're playing the PC version.
The quote-unquote inferior PC
version. It is the inferior version. I've been playing both. You know, going back to the PC version's weird, because I played a little bit of the PC version, and it's...
I asked
That's strange.
I asked friend of the show Kyle Man Kyle Ring.
With him a little bit too, yeah.
And he has the exact opposite sentiments.
Oh, he likes the PC version better.
He thinks it feels better.
Interesting.
Which I have not played the console version, so.
Well, yeah, we'll have to have you play it and you'll have your own opinion then.
Yeah. All right, but anyway, let's talk about Dota, Ben.
Okay.
Or let's continue talking about Dota.
Yeah, I thought we were talking about Dota.
Okay, so a little news action going on here. EG, I believe last night, won the World Esports Championship.
That's a thing.
Which, I don't know. I was under the impression TI4 was that.
Is it?
But
well, is this going on the same time as Star Ladder? Because I feel like Star Ladder is like the big event going on right
now. Well, they're doing like qualifiers right now.
Well, I know.
They're doing
like still,
the preseason.
That's weird. So World Esports, what is it?
Championship.
Is this a big deal? I don't know much about this or anything about
this. It's not a big deal.
What's the prize pool?
EG won and took home $97,000.
Oh, that's a good chunk. Okay, mm-hmm. Good for them.
It was 1 million, whatever the Chinese currency is.
Oh, it's a Chinese tournament.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. I believe they were actually in China for it.
Okay.
And that's with, what's his beak back on the team?
Yeah, Old Man Fear.
Old Man Fear, yeah. So that's great.
Good.
I've been watching some of their matches. I feel like they're drafting an ability to be flexible with their picks.
Okay.
Has been on point lately.
Great. What was the most interesting draft or interesting hero choice that you recall?
They've been doing a lot of Jakiro.
Okay.
Which I really like.
That's interesting.
They've been doing Jakiro, and I think I saw like a Nature's Prophet and Pugna pick.
Okay.
And then I forget what else. But basically, yeah, there was one match where they did a last pick Pugna.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone thought there was a Naga Siren pick that was going to go to Arteezy, but it wound up being a support Naga, which hasn't been seen in a while.
No.
So it was just really interesting to see them be like, okay, we need to pick Pugna now because there was somebody else picked, like a Skywrath Mage or something like that.
Okay.
And, you know, they're just able to be like, okay, I need to play, you know, this hero instead of what we had originally drafted.
Okay.
So they're I really like it. PPD
is
one of
the fun to watch right now. Huh?
He's one of the best drafters out there. Yeah, there was a 9-minute GG during this tournament.
Yeah, you had sent me something
EG
about
versus
that.
Na'Vi. It was...
That's great.
Whew! Lordy, lordy.
Yeah, Star Ladder, I think, runs until, like, what, late October or something? It's a long tournament, isn't it?
I remember it snowing last year when I watched right. Star
It may
Ladder.
Be longer than that. I know I bought the compendium, and it was surprised.
Yeah.
I was surprised how long those games are going to keep going on. So
I have fond memories of it snowing outside of my window and watching Star Ladder.
Oh, cute. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, it makes for a good day, Ben.
I guess so. But they have stretch goals in that one.
Yeah,
you can get a compendium.
What are these stretch goals?
Well,
I was trying to figure it out.
It comes with a tiny skin,
mm-hmm.
which is pretty nice. I like the tiny skin. I know the people are kind of mixed on their opinions on it, but
I think it's kind of weird looking.
I like it. Jared likes it, which that's what's important, right?
Because
he's a tiny player.
Yeah.
It comes with that, and then I think that you can unlock a HUD. I think there's a courier you can unlock. I think there's a couple. I mean, I don't think they've actually visually shown what that stuff's going to look like, but there's a couple different unlocks. So it looks like obviously not the value that you got out of the Valve one. Because, I mean, but I think
nothing's going to be that
fast. You're expecting a lot if you expect something like that. Yeah. But I still think it seems like a good value. And gosh, as many games as they're going to play, it's a lot you can watch.
Yeah.
So it's exciting stuff.
I would pay $10 again just to have that battle point booster.
It comes with one of those too. It's not to that extent. It's like maybe like a 5 or 6 day one, I think.
Okay. I think $10 is probably worth it based on what you've told me.
$250, I think. I don't know. Again, some of my details might be a little sketchy. So look into it to actually look at the actual details. But I think that I'm assuming it's another one where the compendium purchase goes towards the prize pool, but I might be wrong.
Some tournaments that it does.
It is. Okay. Because some of the tournaments are doing that, some are not. So I think it's a neat thing. I bought it just to kind of support esports, really.
Okay. Very good. Black, the famed carry player of, what was he? I think he was with Mouse Sports before, and then at TI4 he was with their name is escaping me. I can only think of MUFC, but that was from TI3. What was the Chinese team that got nowhere?
There are a few of them.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't remember.
I don't think what you said is right.
Black is a big name out there.
He is a big player.
He went to Vici Gaming, though.
Yeah, and Ice is there too now.
That's kind of a big deal.
Yeah, I like that team now.
I like that team quite a bit. Yeah, so the what did they got? Second place at TI4, is that right?
That sounds right.
Yeah. Oh, at the World Esports Championship, WEC, Cloud9 got second and VG Gaming got third.
It's another, I didn't even know that was another tournament. That's great. FYI.
No, that was the one that we were talking about
first. Oh, it's the same one.
Yes. The World Esports Championship. Oh,
professional Dota.
Or the WEC.
How I love you and how I know nothing about you.
Yeah. Okay, in other news, EGM and S4 leave Alliance.
Yeah, I knew that.
And I believe EGM has been playing with Team Secret, I think.
And I think S4 you should do research because you're asking me for confirmation on things I don't follow.
Yeah, no, that's fine.
I'm not sure.
One person went to Team Tinker and the other went to Team Secret.
You should probably confirm these things before. Yeah.
This is why we need Jared back.
Well, I thought you always knew this stuff, and I'm usually like, oh, that's neat.
Yeah. Well, this is kind of minor-ish news, so I don't really...
Yeah, I don't know what to tell you, man.
Yeah. One thing in confirmed news...
This is confirmed?
Confirmed.
Something actually interesting to people instead of vague, maybe this happens.
Yeah. Koikva and Bulba leave Team Liquid.
Yeah.
And in the process, Team Liquid disband their team.
Yeah, there's nothing there anymore now.
That is a freaking shame, Ben, because Team Liquid is how I got my start in watching competitive Dota 2.
Yeah, I guess it's a shame for that reason, but it's not like they've been doing anything
well
good.
No, it's a shame for nostalgia reasons.
Yeah, that's
they had a good run at TI4, I think.
Better than expected. I think that's fair
say. They did better than they did at TI3.
Right. I think all these team shakeups, they're good in the shakeups are good in the long run.
Mm-hmm.
We're gonna have more interesting and more competitive Dota, I think, because of that.
Yeah, and I'm more excited about Team Tinker than I am about Team Liquid.
Yeah, that's probably true.
In its past.
And I'm excited about TI5. I mean, you think about it, really be getting some of these almost like power teams in a way.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's going to be cool to see, A, how these teams actually mesh and play together. And then, B, when it gets to TI5, what's this going to look like, right? Because any of the established teams are now broken apart or, you know, segmented or fractioned in some way. Yeah. And so... I mean, Na'Vi doesn't look like anything anymore that it used to. Alliance is very different.
No, it does. They only lost two players, Ben. Na'Vi does.
That's two-fifths of your team.
Well,
that's pretty different. I mean, I think it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, they did lose their support duo, which is... Yeah, I mean, that's pretty rough.
Yeah, I mean...
That's like losing your defensive line or something.
Yeah, well, not... Well, maybe.
Sportball reference!
Think basketball is a five-man sport, right? If you lose two of your five starters, that's a big deal. And that's an even bigger deal in Dota because you only have five people on a roster.
Oh, in basketball, there's more than five people on a team, though, right?
Right.
Okay.
But your starter, that's what I'm saying. It's even a bigger deal in Dota.
Oh.
If you were to lose two of your main starters in basketball.
That makes sense.
That's a big deal.
That is a big deal, Ben. Right. You're right. Okay. So there's that.
There is that.
In other big confirmed news, Ben.
Yes.
Whoa. Hold on. Whoa. Okay, there we go.
Makes for good radio.
Yes. The Techies update was released, Ben.
Techies, yes.
The Techies are here.
I don't say yes out of excitement. I say yes out of amusement.
So how's it been going over there, Ben, with the Goblin Techies?
Well, I think, you know, the first few days he was out, he was in every match, right? I mean, if you play all pick, granted, he's not in every mode, but if you play all pick, he is going to get picked on pretty much every match.
I did play one all-pick match where Techies was not picked.
Was not picked.
It was crazy. But it was, I think it was yesterday.
But, I mean, it makes sense. Everybody wants to try Techies.
Sure. Yeah.
We looked on that, I think the first couple days he was out, his win rate was below 38%. It was the lowest in the game, and the KDA ratio was the lowest in the game. So, basically, had everybody, a lot of new players, everybody's new to the hero, and they're playing what I would say is probably a... Maybe difficult's the wrong word, but more different type of hero than a lot of the other heroes out there. The way he functions is just really bizarre.
Well, I'm not even sure what role he's supposed to be in, because he's not a great core, and he's not a great support.
Valve has him... I don't know if they have the labels in the game yet or not, but in terms of starting items, they have him buying a courier, so that certainly implies a supporty type role.
Yeah.
I think that's probably fair.
That's the direction I'd like to put him in, I think. Yeah.
How do you feel about Techies? So, I mean, outside of the fact that he's changed the meta and all pick for probably at least the next couple weeks, I would think.
Yeah.
How do you feel about him in general?
Yeah, I have a couple of different thoughts. Well, first of all, Ben, do you remember in GoldenEye on Nintendo 64?
Of course.
Did you ever play multiplayer? Did you ever have that one guy that was just remote an a-hole? Yeah. With the remote mines and the proxy mines.
It just changes the whole flow of the game.
Yeah, it's basically what Techies is.
Okay.
And I've played a couple matches with Techies in it, and yeah, it's been funny.
It is like that. It's like, okay, this was amusing for one match, but
it's fine. You know, and every time I've played with Techies, I've won. Every time I've played against Techies, I've won. So
wait, what?
Yeah, it's like the inverse Pudge rule.
Okay.
If Pudge is on your team, you lose, and if you play against Pudge, you lose. Techies was on my team and I won, and Techies was on the other team and I won.
That doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
So as long as Techies is in the game, I'm going to win.
So you're 100% win rate when Techies is in the game, picked by anybody. Is
correct.
What you're saying.
Yes.
Okay.
But yeah, people in Allpick were saying, you know, nerf Techies and it's ruining Dota and all these things, and that's not the case.
No, it's going to change Dota. I mean, if he ever gets in the captain's mode, well, I don't know if he'll be used or not, but I think he's interesting. I think it's definitely, I mean, he has a lot of counter push, obviously.
Yeah, I think, well, not necessarily counter push. I think anti-push.
Maybe anti-push,
He keeps teams from pushing really well. And
I think that's probably a better word for
it. Whenever you have Techies picked, you know, he just goes around laying these mines and stuff everywhere, so basically, you just look out for the rune spots, the secret shop, and then, like, common choke points, essentially.
Yeah, but it's going to be interesting once the pros get a hang of him to be creative with it, you know?
Yeah.
Because that stun, stasis mine thing he has...
That's a six-second stun,
that's
right?
That's a six-second stun if it gets its full stun off on somebody. So I can see that.
So wait,
being...
how's that work then? Because I know you played around with Techies a little bit.
I mean, I've played one bot match, so I'm not an expert on that.
Okay.
But I think some of the mines have essentially... The closer you're at the impact point of the mine, it's going to have more of an effect on the player than if you're further outside the radius.
So if it's just one person walking into the mine, they're not going to get a 6 second stun off on it.
No.
Because does it have like a delay?
I don't know. I'd have to look. I know with the damage mines, it depends on close share. I'm not sure with the stasis mines if that has that or not.
Right.
We'd have to look into it.
Right. But if it's just one, when does the mine go off?
When somebody walks into the proximity. But you can stun the entire team with it.
Right. Okay.
And it stuns creeps too.
Yeah. That is nice. That is nice. Like if you're somehow able to. I don't know. I can see like a Darkseer vacuum working really well with this.
That's what I'm saying. I think there's some things that he could mix well with some comps. That's 6 seconds. That's longer than a Chronosphere.
Yeah. That's nice.
And you could, I mean,
and you can,
your whole team can move there. I mean, you could have a melee hero whacking on them still.
Okay.
So
yeah,
I think that's interesting. His suicide does a ton of damage.
I've heard people suggest just get one value point and never look back
on the suicide.
Yeah.
Well, it's like 1550 damage at max level.
That's nice.
It's a nice amount of damage. And you can use it to get a level one first blood,
mm-hmm.
right? Because it does, I think, 650 damage at level one. So you can see how that could work well with somebody who has a stun or something. Because what's the hero pool or the health pool for heroes at level one? I mean,
600, 700-ish.
Right. I mean, so if you're looking at maybe getting some early gold that way. And I think it's interesting. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I love it or hate it or what Valve's going to really do with it, but it's interesting.
Yeah, I think that the... I'm actually surprised that the novelty of Techies is starting to wear off already.
Yeah, but I think if he ever gets into captain's mode, I think we'll see it occasionally. I think we'll see some interesting strategies around him.
Yeah, I think you'll probably see it as often as you see somebody like a Bloodseeker or something like that. You know, kind of as like a niche pick or something like that.
Yeah, I don't think, because in all pick people love to do the cores, I don't think he really fits into that role enough.
Yeah,
that we probably won't see a lot of him in all pick. I'm guessing people tried him and they're like, this is weird, I don't think I like it, I'm gonna go back and play Pudge type of thing. I mean, I don't think you're gonna see a ton of Techies.
I will say I think I like Techies more than I like Pudge and Bloodseeker and Ricky and all those guys.
Yeah, I don't even know if he's the same as that, though.
I mean, no, as far as, like, typical all-pick picks go.
Yeah, I don't think we'll ever see him to that degree.
Yeah.
It's probably going to be similar to Terrorblade and Phoenix, where he kind of drops off in popularity. And
I would think so. I think in about a month or two, we're going to be back to normal.
I think so, too. I don't think you're going to see a lot of him. But I think he's one of those heroes that you probably have to put some time in to learn how to use him effectively.
Right.
And I don't know if people are going to be willing to do that. I don't think he's neat enough to do that. Outside of an organized team, I think he probably works better in an organized team where you can bait people into the mind traps and that kind of thing.
Yeah, so that's kind of the next question I was going to ask is, do you have any strategies for playing with techies?
On your team?
Yeah.
On an organized team?
Let's say you're an all-pick.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have any strategies developed, but I could see the advantage of, essentially, you're going to need to try to channel people towards his traps, I think is how it's going to work. So you can see the mines if you have sight.
Yeah. So I think at least in my matches that it's easy enough to bait people. Like people will chase you forever.
At our skill level, yeah. I think he could be abused like crazy at our skill level, because you just run people into a stasis trap and
force staff have your team there into mines.
Yeah, or like a smoke trap, right? Yeah. You could have a smoke gank set up and have some stasis mines set up with that. I mean,
heck yeah.
There's some things you could do there. That be creative.
Yeah. Okay. So last week we were kind of talking about the Arcana set for techies a little bit.
Yeah.
We were talking about how it's overpriced and everything.
Sure.
It's more expensive than what we thought.
It's $35.
It's $35. Yeah. Okay. Well, here's everything that you get with it. It comes with a complete 5-piece set. The effects can be changed by prismatic gems. So it's a gem where you can select like an RGB value and it tints the effect to whatever you want it to be. You get a custom hero minimap and spell icon. A minefield sign for like when you're in the game or something like that.
Yeah, I'm not sure what that is. He's got an ability where you can essentially just plant. I heard somebody describe it as like an Acme sign from like the old. So you just essentially you just plant a sign that says death or mines here.
Wile E. Coyote's.
Yeah, it doesn't cost any mana. It's on a little bit of a cooldown, but you just essentially you would be taunting people and playing mind games with them. I kind of love it.
That's kind of funny.
So they're like, are there mines here, or is he just messing with me? Because I know Techies was here at one point in time.
Right. So. You get a custom portrait, inscribed gems for all four abilities, custom animations and sounds. Mine victims that are killed see a mini taunt after they're killed. So that kill screen, they see like a taunt in that kill screen. They also get a loading screen, which is in vogue these days, as all these loading screens.
And usually sell for about 10 cents on the market.
Oh, less than that. And a custom emoticon. So let me ask you, Ben, is all that worth $35?
Of course it's not, but it is to some people. And I think it's kind of in line with what League sells their skins for, too.
Yeah.
With the exception of with League, you're getting a hero. You have to actually buy the hero, too. So the hero comes with it as a bonus. So I think, $5, $10, $35 skins are not outside of the norm for a free-to-play game. Mm.
Okay.
So is it worth it for me? No. But
it's worth it to somebody.
It's worth it to somebody. And pricing it at that point, I would assume that Valve, you know, as they've made tons of money off of this game, I'm assuming that they know where that ratio of max profit is.
Right.
At the very least, they want to continue to have those Arcana sets be this very special to obtain type of thing. Yeah. And have that kind of rarity tied to it, and you have to price it that way, or else everybody has the Arcana set and it's not special anymore.
Right, exactly. Which is what you kind of saw happen with some of the bumping my mic there.
Don't do that.
You saw that kind of happen with some of the Compendium Immortals,
right?
Where there was so many of them out there that
it was a flooded marketplace. Really,
yeah, they're like $1 or $2.
They didn't feel as special as they could have been.
They still kind of do, though. Like, not everybody has them, which is nice, but a lot of people do.
But don't you feel like they feel a little less special?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to argue that point at all.
With my compendium, I think I got like 6 immortals.
Yeah.
If I had one, I would value that a little bit more. So, but I'm glad I have the 6. Don't get me wrong. I love having all those immortals, but it does change the rarity. It does change the perceived value of the item. Obviously, nothing's changed. It's still the exact same cosmetic item if it was 30 cents or $3.30. Yeah.
Here's the situation that I had. So the immortal that I got with the TI3 compendium was a Pudge hook.
Yeah.
And I never used it. But all these immortals that came out this year Well, there was the Immortals that came with the compendium, and then some that were released in a separate treasure chest.
Right.
Two separate treasure chests.
That came with the plushies and that kind of
thing. Yeah. The ones that came with the compendium, I use way more, and I like them more, even though the value is, like, way lower.
Yeah. I think, like I said, I think we get the value of that, but just right. the perceived value of the items is so much lower because everybody has them.
Yeah.
So. But, I mean, do you mind accessibility? That's a good thing, right? To have accessibility to those things.
Yeah.
But I think the Arcana sets are Valve saying, we're still going to have something that's really special.
Yeah.
And that's going to be those $35 sets.
Now, those ones that cost $5 and the ones that came with the micro plushies, I like those.
Those are pretty nice. Good. Yeah, they're like nice. Them. Yeah.
Anyway, also released with the Techies update is a couple odds and end things, a lot of compendium rewards.
Yeah, there were some things that came out with this. The Kill Banner, I think, was one of them, right?
Yeah, so I'll kind of go through those real quick. The non-compendium awards.
You gave me a look like, we're going to go in my order, Ben, or we're not going to go at all.
That's absolutely right, Ben.
So go ahead.
Okay.
Lead the way, Brian.
These are non-compendium updates.
Okay.
All random deathmatch. Have you played this yet?
These are non-compendium updates? Oh, you mean the Correct. Ones that come with people, that come for people who do...
Everyone gets
it. Yeah, everybody gets. Okay.
All random deathmatch.
I haven't tried it.
Okay. It's a little bit different than what I had originally thought.
It's exactly like I thought it was going to be.
Well, yeah. It's, you know, you get a random hero, and when you die, you respawn as a new hero.
Right.
But...
And then there's a counter per your team.
Yeah, each team only gets 40 heroes.
It's like Counter-Strike for Dota.
Yes, that's awesome.
It's pretty cool.
I had no idea I had that component.
Yeah, I haven't tried it yet. It sounds kind of fun.
I haven't either. Okay, next is the Gallery of Triumphs, which is basically achievements
it's
for Dota 2.
It's Chivos, yeah.
Chivos? Yeah. Are we calling those Chivos?
That's what people call those.
Yeah. Okay.
But it's a trophy case. I mean, I think it's neat.
Okay,
fair. I mean, if you like those, I mean, it's always, you know, Blizzard, I think, is the king of always making you feel like you earned something, even if you haven't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just their sounds are so rewarding when you level up, and just the interface is always really good about showing you what you've done and feeling really good about whatever it is.
The achievement points usually go towards unlocking something, or you get something with the achievement itself.
Well, yeah, and this is just another thing that it's not, you're not really getting anything.
Yeah.
But man, it feels nice to have the whistles light up and something pop up and say you get a, you know,
the whistles are lighting up, folks.
It's like
you kids with your whistles.
Well, no, I mean, have you ever been to a casino? Like, there's just things lighting up and spinning, and even when you're losing, you feel like you're winning because those things, there's so many colors and flashing lights and sounds. And
here's my casino interactions, Ben.
Yeah.
Okay. The only casino that I've been to was on a cruise ship with my grandma.
Yeah.
Playing the nickel slots.
Was it one of the ones with the animated characters in the games?
No, it just had like the old reels.
Okay, so the new ones now. The new ones, it's like, it's, you're like playing an iPhone game, maybe, with roll.
Okay.
Lots of flashing lights and animated characters, and there's little bonus games that pop up.
So it is like an iOS game, because you have to pay something every time you want to play.
It's exactly like an iOS game.
Wow.
It's the same reason that the iOS games are so successful, because you feel like you're accomplishing something even when you're not accomplishing anything.
All right.
You're planting virtual carrots. They're not worth anything, but you're going to spend a dollar so you can plant them now instead of in 2 weeks, right?
Let's go to a casino right now, Ben.
Right, no, because it's awful. It's awful. But I think Valve, with the trophies and stuff, it's like, it's a... positive reinforcement for playing Dota.
Okay.
You haven't really accomplished anything of any kind of actual intrinsic value, right?
Yeah. I mean,
but here's a little graphic that pops up and a sound, and it's rewarding. It's just it's a human nature rewarding thing.
Right.
And I think it's good. I'm not against it.
Yeah, I think it's good too. And at back to the cruise ship casino, Ben.
Yeah.
I won $40 with my grandma.
Good. See, I always lose money when I play at the casino.
And then the next closest thing I've been to a casino is Dave and Buster's.
Which is basically also a casino.
Yeah, except you spend more money to buy Tootsie Rolls.
Except you get tickets instead
spider
of
rings.
Cash back.
Yeah, so it's a big scam.
Well, it's all scams. But at least we're not paying anything to try to get these trophies. The cost is our time.
Yeah. Are you getting free booze at the casinos, Ben?
Not in Ohio. Not in Ohio.
Not in Ohio.
No.
That's unfortunate. You might be able to get me to go to a casino if there's free booze involved.
Yeah. No, unfortunately not in Ohio. You can get like comp points and stuff like that sometimes, but they can give away some things, but not.
Okay.
No booze.
Okay. That's fair.
Yeah.
Okay. Ben, back to the compendium. These are now compendium updates. This is where I...
Okay, so that's all the people get that didn't pay any money is they get these fake trophy things and they get...
All random deathmatch.
Which is still, they didn't pay anything. It's free stuff.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I forgot one, Ben.
What's that?
The All Hero Challenge. Which is basically
that's a big deal.
It's basically the A to Z challenge.
But the issue... Okay, here's my question with this.
Yeah.
Is the order that I'm playing through my heroes the same order that you're playing through your heroes?
I have no idea.
We'll have to check into this, because there's been some demand from the We Like Dota listeners that we kind of bring back the hero challenge thing.
Yeah.
So I think we just need to look into, is it the same order for everybody? And if it is that same order for everybody, let's do it.
If I'm being honest, Ben, I don't want to do the A to Z challenge.
We're going to do it anyway, so...
I hate it. I was miserable, Ben. I hated it.
I think it will be fun. We're going to do it, but here's the thing.
It made me not want to play Dota.
It's a community-building exercise. We're all going to struggle through it together.
So it's like we're doing Trust Falls.
Not Trust... That's horrible, Brent. That's not what we're talking about. People... We're all learning Dota together.
We are.
What better exercise to learn Dota together?
Yeah.
Look at me being a proponent of doing something positive.
And you what is going on?
And you're being negative Nancy about it.
You're supposed to be salty and curmudgeonly Ben.
Yeah, no, let's build our community. Our community can play through the A to Z Hero Challenge together. Let's do it. We're going to look into it. If it's the same order for everybody.
You might have me on this,
Ben. If it's a different order, because like my first hero is Sniper. Yeah. So if your first hero is...
But what about people who get... We don't want to leave people behind. Like, what if people don't keep pace?
Well, we're going to help each other. So just listen to me. As long as my first hero is Sniper and yours is also Sniper, we're going to do this. If my first hero is Sniper and your first hero is Spirit Breaker, I don't think this is going to work.
Wait, I don't understand. Because if we both have Sniper, we can't both be Sniper in a game.
Of course we can't. Of course we can't.
Oh, so we'll have to do my match and then your match.
Well, you're missing the whole point of helping each other, right? We have a community. We're going to help each other.
No, I get this.
So, gosh, Brian's... Again, it depends on us all going through the same order. I think I think we all go through the same order.
But
so let's assume that.
If we have five snipers, we got
to
do all these
games. We're not going to have five snipers, right? We're all going to try to do this hero challenge. But
so
let's
you're thinking we all have different heroes, then. I'm confused, Ben. I'm all out confused right now. I don't know what's going on.
My understanding with the hero challenge, and we'll look into this to make sure, is that everybody goes through the same order. So that means, assuming that is correct, resting on that assumption for a second.
Resting on that.
Everybody has to get hero number one, which is Sniper, first, right?
Right.
So we all try to get hero number one Sniper. Now let's say I get it first match.
Yeah.
That I play a Sniper, and then you're struggling, and some of the friends of the show are struggling. Yeah. We can, on the show, we'll encourage people to tips on how to get Sniper, right? Because we're going to talk about these heroes.
Okay.
Right? So we'll talk about that. We've got our Reddit group. So, hey, let's talk about it on our Reddit group. We're in the guild. Hey, has somebody gotten Sniper already? I can't get my Sniper win. Can we get a group together so I can try to get my Sniper win?
Okay.
Help support me.
This is making more sense.
Do you see how this would build community?
Yeah,
I got it now. Why do you want to tear the community down?
Well, I wasn't understanding what you were getting at earlier.
Well, it's altruistic. It's a positive thing.
Yeah, no, I get that. The scenario that was running through my head was true then.
No, you can't have five snipers in a game. Why would you think that?
I know. That was the problem that I had with it. I was saying... You can't have five snipers.
Right, but we have a week to get through the hero challenge. So you're resting on the assumption somebody probably has already gotten their sniper win, right?
Yeah.
But I could be wrong. It could be that I have sniper level one and you have your first hero is Abaddon, and then we won't do this. So it just depends on how Valve set this up.
Yeah, no, it'll be good. We'll do it.
We're going to do it.
We'll do it.
As long as it's set up that way.
Correct.
Oh my gosh.
Okay.
Maybe Cheeks, you can look into that real quick for us.
Yeah.
Is your first hero, because I know Cheeks is going to be on at the end.
Yeah.
Is your first hero Sniper?
Whoa, spoiler alert.
Well, is it a secret?
Yeah, that's a secret.
Well, it's not a secret anymore.
All right, good. Thanks, Ben.
Why was it? Nobody told me that was a secret.
Well, yeah. Okay. All right.
Was it meant to be like a big surprise?
It was going to be, yeah.
Well.
Okay.
I'm glad I got credit for the surprise.
All right, moving.
Surprise, everybody. Cheeks is going to be on at the end of the show.
Moving on to the compendium update.
We can take it out in post if you want.
We're not going to.
Well, because it's not worth it.
Yeah. Okay, the Assured Victory Shout.
Yeah, that's back in.
Yeah, this thing's dumb. Basically, you equip this gem that says, it's in the bag.
You think it's
when
dumb?
When the match starts. Yeah, what's the point?
Well, besides pissing people off? Have you ever seen video of Babe Ruth calling his home run?
I have, yeah.
This is you calling your home run. You're calling the win.
So you're equating me to Babe Ruth.
Not you.
Yeah, don't either.
But this is, so far, every time I've used it, I've won, which is, I think, one time.
You know what? I will say, actually, I'm going to turn face on this. I actually do kind of like it.
Yeah, it's good. It's good, yeah.
I like it in the fact that there was a guy who had like a four match streak.
And then we won and we took him down. We're like, sucker.
Yeah.
Yeah, look at that. Because
it tells you
what
their streak is.
I like it. It adds
some tension.
You got to think about it. All you're really playing for is battle points and pride.
Right.
And it plays right into that pride element, right? It's like, yeah. Look at me. I'm going to beat you. Or you said you're going to beat me. This makes me want to play a little harder and not let that happen.
With this feature in here, I think even more, this could be controversial. I think even more, Valve could remove being able to type with a keyboard out of the game, and it would be fine.
How does that even play into it? I don't understand.
Well, because you get a little bit of that taunting in there, but it doesn't get, you know, out of hand like it's gotten so many times.
That's only you, though. I don't usually fight with people.
It's not just me.
Well, I mean, like, on our team, you're usually the only one. Kyle.
It's either me or Kyle.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, it's kind of
Jared
like,
and I seldomly, occasionally, when we get upset, we get pretty upset,
yeah.
But it doesn't happen very often. And Cheeks, I never really seen Cheeks get upset.
Nah, he's just a nice guy.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is how it is with Hearthstone. There's no chat in Hearthstone. You can like do a couple
I'll
preset
that,
emotes
yeah.
And it works great.
But I think communication is important and maybe not talking to the other team, but communication is important for talking to your own team.
I don't know. You ping, you have the chat wheel. That's all you need.
Well, why would we allow voice chat but not allow keyboard chat?
That's what I'm saying. Just take it all out unless you're in like a 5-star.
You don't even want to have voice chat.
I don't want it.
I think you're wrong.
Because it's either some dude from a country I've never heard of that's playing music over his mic.
I think you're limiting your mindset based on our MMR. I bet people at higher MMR probably communicate and would like to communicate via chat. Especially as you're planning your team comps and your lanes and stuff like that.
Even in a solo queue.
I would assume at a high MMR, they are probably communicating something that's important.
You know what, Ben? Now that you mention this, we did. Were you in that match with Kyle and I where we were playing with those guys who, who were like fall back, you know, saying that kind of stuff.
I was
it was Counter-Strike.
Yeah.
As goofy as those guys were,
we at least knew what they were trying to say, right?
Yeah, and we had a fun time.
How many times have I corrected you today? This is a lot. That you've admitted it.
Yeah. An unprecedented amount.
Yeah. It's pretty bad.
Somebody needs to keep score.
Yeah. Well, I think Cheeks was on that.
Mm-hmm.
Not that he's on the show. Oh, surprise.
Oh, my gosh, Ben. Stop referring to Cheeks as though he's on the show, because he's not.
He's not here right now. Yeah.
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert.
Okay. There was also a special techies taunt that was released. Remember when they kind of blew the pooch that said techies was, you know,
I've never heard that term before. That's a weird one.
It's when you shoot your dog, right?
Oh, that's weird. Okay.
Remember when they released like the second set of compendium stretch goals and like the techies taunt was in there, but techies hadn't actually been announced?
Yeah, we have a techies taunt now.
Yeah. Great.
Well, yeah, you have to care about techies to care about that.
Yeah. And then a special Battle Glory kill banner was released, which is your fancy multi-kill banner that you
were
talking
about. Nice little particle effect type things going on when you get... Have you gotten a multi-kill with the banner popping up?
No.
Okay. It's kind of cool. It's not super distracting, which is good.
What about for us support players? Is there like a multi-ward placement
wards
banner?
Placed banner. No, of course not.
Is there one for like... keeping the ward timer within like 10 seconds.
Brian,
of
as a support,
down.
You have to realize you're a second class citizen. You just have to embrace that.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, that's pretty much true.
You get those wards placed gems, and that's about it. That's really, you just need to hold on to those.
That's all I got.
Yeah, just keep
folks.
Looking at that number going up with the wards placed.
I don't have the knowledge.
Is there a gem for a courier bot? I mean, that's really your. If that's not in the game, you could have that added, but I bet that's already there.
Yeah, that's about right.
Or assist. Maybe there's assists. I bet there's an assist one.
Yeah.
Really,
nobody gets excited about assists.
Really,
though.
Those three things. I mean, what else could we do? Mech heals used. Would that make you feel better about yourself?
No, because I don't always buy mech.
Yeah, or Tango Shared. Maybe they can get a gem with Tango Shared.
I use my tangos like I do dog treats.
Yeah. So I don't know. I think you're just going to have to embrace.
Here, boy. Have another tango.
Embrace who you are
Go
as
farm.
A support.
Go farm, boy.
Yeah.
There was also a TI4 music pack that was released.
I kind of like it. Have you listened to the music?
I have. It's exceptional.
Pretty sharp.
It's actual like music recorded by an orchestra.
It's more epic than the normal music, oh, yeah, by far.
I do enjoy it. So listen to that. It's by award-winning music composer Chance Thomas.
Never heard of him.
I haven't either, ever. But he's award-winning.
I like his stuff. Mm-hmm. If by stuff, I mean the one thing I've heard.
There's a couple other quality of life additions, Ben.
Yeah?
Alt-clicking on an item in an enemy hero's inventory now informs your teammates that that enemy has that item.
I taught you that one.
That was impressive.
Yeah, I did that in a match, and you're like, what?
We're up
what
to, like, happened? Number, like, four now for Yadneb.
Teaching
Yadneb wins
today. Yeah.
Alt-clicking on the buyback button or your gold will notify your team of your current buyback status.
Yep.
Items may, and I thought of you with these next couple changes, Ben, because you've had issues with this.
Yeah.
Items may
now
be.
Is there a sound now for random draft? That's what I want.
That's only the third time we've heard you complain about that today. Items may now be dropped from the stash while dead. And here's the big one for you, Ben. Players can no longer drop or take other players' unshareable items on the courier.
Stop stealing my crap.
Yes.
Right?
You can't even use it, or you couldn't before.
Why are you taking my stuff?
Players can no longer store other players' unshareable items in their stash. So not only are people taking other people's items that they can't use off the courier,
right,
they're putting them in their stashes.
Yep.
Jerks. Items on heroes controlled by players who have disconnected but not yet abandoned can no longer be dropped from their inventories. And also, bot UI was added for Ricky, Pudge, and Axe.
Which is kind of fun.
And in solo bot matches, the bots will wear your cosmetics.
Also fun.
Also fun. Okay, Ben.
I think we talked about that last week. You missed the new icons. You were all excited about those icons, and you didn't talk about them. The emoticons.
What icons?
The despair ones.
Oh, you have to pay for those, don't you?
Yeah, but you wanted to talk about those.
I did?
Yeah.
Oh.
You said you wanted to talk about them. I said I didn't care.
Oh, okay. I don't really care either. There are new emoticons out of that
so
you
you're
have
probably
to pay
just,
for.
Yeah, okay. You were probably just wanting to talk about it because I didn't want to at that point.
Probably, yeah. That sounds about right.
I don't want to talk about it. They're in the game. If you want that, then go for it.
Go buy them, folks.
Go buy them. They're like $2 or something. I don't know.
I'll probably buy them.
Really?
Maybe.
I like. So you emoticons. Do want to? Okay, let's talk about it because I think they're worthless.
I don't think they're fun.
Why not save the money up and buy an Arcana set? So instead of buying the icons 10 times or however many times you need to buy the icons,
why would I buy the icons 10 times?
Well, 15. Let's say they do 15 sets of icons.
Why am I buying 15 sets of icons?
Why are you buying one set of icons?
Because one icon set gets me stuff.
Yeah, but let's say
14 other ones do nothing for
me. Let's say that they release 14 other different sets of icons.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Why not just not buy those icons and buy an Arcana set?
I like them.
Well, I'm glad you do.
Yeah.
Well, I don't dislike them. I'm just not going to spend money on
them.
Well,
there's, I mean, it's, 15 things instead of one pack.
I've never seen you use one.
Yeah, I use them every once in a while. I kind of forget about them.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Well, they're there. They're back. There's more.
Yeah, I might buy them. Who knows? Okay, let's move on to the Hero of the Week, Ben.
Who's our Hero of the Week?
The Hero of the Week is Death Prophet.
Oh, okay.
I've been playing a lot of Death Prophet lately, and...
pretty well, actually. I'll give you props for that. It has not gone poorly.
Wow, thank you, Ben.
Yeah.
Okay.
You would like to say that you're 100% win rate. Did you already say that in the show? I know you said that before the show.
Statistically insignificant 100% win rate.
I think you said that on the air.
Mm-hmm. So. Oh, yeah, I did. Okay, so we're going to talk about her role, her lane, her spells, and her items. So starting with her role, she can kind of, she's generally run as a core, but she can also kind of support as well.
Yeah.
Last year around this time, she was popular as a support.
Well, it's because those ghosts are good regardless, right? Mm-hmm. I think that's what it boils down to.
I would agree with that. But yeah, typically I've been running her as a core in either the mid lane or the off lane. But she can do okay in the safe lane as well.
Yeah, I feel like it's... I know Jared would disagree with me on this, but I just feel like it's a waste to put her in the safe lane. I don't think she needs...
Yeah, I agree with you.
I don't think she needs that much farm.
Yeah, I agree with you. Okay, so mid or off lane for her?
That's what you and I think. Or safe lane support, I suppose. You could do a safe lane support with her.
Yeah.
If you're going to run her support.
Right. Especially,
she has a silence, so which is nice for support.
Yeah. If I've had a lot of success with her in a solo lane, so whether that's solo off lane or solo mid.
I think I prefer her mid. Just get her those mm-hmm. early levels, and then you can start pushing around 10 minutes. And
but even in solo off lane, like, that's really good, too.
Yeah, and she has a silence.
You get
silence,
the same amount of levels.
So she has a silence for, mm-hmm. Not being super gankable, I guess.
Yeah. Okay, her spells. Her Q is Crypt Swarm, sends a swarm of winged beasts to savage enemy units in front of Death Prophet. So that's 100, 175, 250, or 300 damage.
Is that not one of the coolest descriptions of an ability?
Winged beasts to savage enemy units.
I mean, when you see it, it's almost disappointing based on how the description is said and what you actually get. I mean, it's a nice ability.
It looks a lot better with the Immortal.
It does. It does. But that's just a cool description.
Oh, yeah.
And not necessarily, the payoff isn't quite there.
Speaking of cool descriptions, I like Death Prophet's whole motif. Like, just the whole thing that she's got going on. Especially some of her items. She's got, like a Victorian look to her, almost.
Yeah.
I think it's pretty sweet. Like, it's, like, old kind of ghost tales and stuff.
Yeah, I don't dig the accent, necessarily.
The accent is by the woman who did the thing from Portal. GLaDOS.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not, and it's not like it's done poorly. My critique is that it exists. So it's not a knock against the voice actor.
So you would prefer her to be silent?
Yeah, maybe more, not necessarily silent. I would want more of like a haunted house feel than like a,
yeah,
I'm a vampire type,
yeah,
of thing.
Yeah, she does have like a haunted house kind of type quality to her.
But the voice doesn't match that.
I agree.
That's where I think that's why.
Yeah.
That's where I think it's missing out.
I am a big fan of like her classic haunted house type.
Right. I'm thinking like the librarian in Ghostbusters, something like that. Like maybe she should just go around and just shush.
Right.
She could just shush people.
Sure. I'm okay with that. But anyway, the Crypt Swarm, the mana cost is 105, 120, 140, and 165. Cooldown is 8 seconds. Range is 110. But all that stuff gets changed with her passive anyway. So we'll get to that later. Her W is Silence. Prevents enemy units in a target area from casting spells. You can still use items when you get hit by this, but the silence is pretty good, I think.
I like the silence. How long does the silence last?
3, 4, 5, and 6 seconds.
Good.
It's pretty good.
That is pretty good.
So it's really good for initiating, or heck, even just in the middle
so
of
really,
a fight.
So really, you could silence for 6 seconds and stasis stun them with techies for an additional 6 seconds. That's 12 seconds.
That's
of a,
dead, a
lot of not a lot going on.
That's a dead team right there, Ben.
Right. Because now we're from now on, just because of the emphasis put on techies, every time we talk about Hero of the Week, it's how, right, do they mesh with techies?
That's right.
That's what we want to talk
That's
about.
What we're going to be talking about for the next 3 weeks.
Exactly.
In the silence, it's like an AoE silence, too. It's not just like a single target.
Yeah, it's good. It's a good silence.
It's a good silence.
So silence and then stasis bomb, stasis mine, whatever they call that.
And I've leaned against Ricky several times as Death Prophet.
Oh, she's, yeah.
The silence is great
is
against
good.
Ricky. Because, yeah, if he dives in on you, you just pop the silence and you can run away, or, you know, you can
whatever you want to do.
Whatever you want to do. And he's not gonna be able to go invisible from his ultimate, that sort of thing.
Ricky doesn't like to be seen, so that's good.
Correct. Okay, so her E is not Death Prophet. Her E is Witchcraft.
Ooh.
Increases the potency of Death Prophet's spells while providing a passive movement speed boost.
She gets pretty fast. I like that.
Yeah. And it reduces the mana cost and cooldowns of Crypt Swarm and Silence and adds additional spirits to Exorcism. So the movement speed buff is 5, 10, 15, and 20%, which is, that's a lot. The mana cost decrease for her Q and her W are minus 10, 15, 20, and 25. And the cooldown decrease is 1, 2, 3, and 4.
Which both of those feel pretty good.
So at max level, you're getting a Crypt Swarm every 4 seconds. Which is, that's really
Assuming
nice.
You have the mana for it.
Assuming you have the mana for
it. But they're helping you out there too, right?
Yeah.
So.
And you typically tend to build intelligence items on her anyway.
Right.
So
I don't think she has a lot of mana issues necessarily.
Yeah.
I mean, a little bit.
You gotta
it's
be careful.
Miss. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's, I find if you tend to not die on Death Prophet, you start to have mana issues.
that's true.
Which
that's
is
where,
like
that's
first
where you
world
come
problems.
Into, yeah, exactly.
And the Witchcraft also adds Exorcism Spirits 3, 4, 5, and 6. So we'll get into the Exorcism, which is her ultimate.
Additional Spirits is what you're saying.
Additional yeah. Spirits, correct.
So her, I love that because her passive is almost like an Egg Scepter that affects all the abilities.
Yeah, pretty much.
I mean, it's,
that's a good way of thinking about it.
It's kind of a nice... I like what it mm-hmm. brings to the table there.
Yeah, in her exorcism, I'm sure everyone has seen this. It's when she pops that and all the ghosts start swarming around her. unleashes evil spirits to drain the life of nearby enemy units and structures. At the end of the spell's duration, Death Prophet is healed in proportion to the damage dealt. Lasts 30 seconds. So the mana cost is 200, 300, 400. The cooldown at all levels is 115. Spirits at level 1 are 4, at level 2, 12, and at level 3, 21. Life drain is 25%, 25%, and the spirit damage is 55. So the more spirits that you have, the more damage you're doing.
Yeah. And you have to have some targets for them to hit.
But. Yeah, so this is kind of her signature ability and why she's real popular right now.
It's where the tower push. I mean, I think that's why she's so popular, is the tower push is unreal.
It does tower damage. Yeah. So if you if you're building up your witchcraft and even at level 1 you have a decent exorcism.
It's pretty nice.
It's pretty nice, yeah.
I like what she brings to the table.
Yeah, I like her quite a bit. She tends to tank up really well.
Mm-hmm.
Her right click is nothing to write home about, but right. with her Crypt Swarm and her silence, she's nothing to sneeze at. And the exorcism is physical damage, so she doesn't really care about BKB except for the silence and the Crypt Swarm.
But right.
most of her damage does come from the exorcism.
Mm-hmm.
And I do like the Crypt Swarm for creep pushing.
It's nice to clear some waves. Really, yeah.
Pretty much, it gets pretty close to that. Okay, items for her. Where did my show notes go? Hold on. Oh boy, good radio.
No, I mean, so what kind of? I like Yule's Scepter on her is one of the things I like, because you can use that to get out of damage while her ghosts are going. That's one of my favorite items on her.
Oh yeah, I put that down as core.
That's almost. Definitely a core item, I would say.
Yeah, you get that movement speed boost, and then yeah, when you pop the exorcism, you can put somebody up. In the in the thing,
I just put myself up. That's what I do, to get out of dodge.
If you're chasing somebody, it works well. If you're chasing,
of course, yeah.
Other core items would be phase boots. Get that movement speed up so you can keep people keep up with people as they're running away with your exorcism right. up. And I also think one of these three items is considered core. Either heart.
You would go any of these three on her.
Any of these three. It's kind of situational which one you get. Either Heart of Tarrasque, Bloodstone, or Shiva's.
Okay.
And Jared tends to...
I don't think that those are necessary items. You would say that they are, huh?
If you're running a core Death Prophet,
I've had success without buying any of those.
Okay.
So, but I think those are all good choices.
What do you buy instead, then?
Well, that's a good question.
Okay, good.
I mean,
good.
Yeah, I mean...
I'm happy that you... Yeah.
Well, I think you could go a Sheepstick on her, even. I mean, I think there's other things you could do.
Yeah, that's kind of true. Her item build is really kind of wide open, but if you want
to... I would say you don't have to go those three. Those are three good options.
Yeah.
But you can throw some other things in there, too.
I think for what you pick Death Prophet for, which is tankiness and pushing...
Yeah. Did you have a mech in there? You could buy a mech on her?
You could buy a mech.
You did say Ags already,
I haven't...
Right?
No, you do not buy Ags on her.
Does Ags not do anything?
Ags does nothing on her. Good job, Ben.
Well, she's got that passive that is...
You didn't let me get to the situational items yet.
Well, I think any of the situational items could also be a core item.
Yeah,
I think that's what I'm arguing. I think the only Yule's is the only one that I feel is like you have to get this.
And phase boots. I think phase boots you have to get.
Yeah. I think it's definitely a you want them. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know if you have to, but you'd want them.
But yeah, I think Heart of Tarrasque is good because it helps her tank up.
It's not bad.
Bloodstone helps with some of the mana issues, and you stay dead less.
Yeah, I never understood Bloodstone. I don't like that item.
It's got paragraphs worth of information.
Yeah, I just ignore it. I'm like, that's not an item I want to mess with.
And Shiva's Guard, which is our item of the week, which we'll get to later, mm-hmm. I really like quite a bit as well.
I ignore that one, too. Too much writing.
Okay, good.
This is why I pick right-click carries.
Yes. situational items would include BKB, Drum of Endurance, Scythe of Vice, Pipe of Insight, Mech, Boots of Travel, and Refresher Orb.
So I think you could go any of those. Outside of those other three, I think she just has so much flexibility there.
Yeah.
You disagree, but that's fine.
I disagree on... I think Scythe of Vice and Mech would typically... Yeah. No, I agree with you.
I think everything's a situational item for her. It's like, choose your own adventure.
Yeah. So, no, that's pretty much true.
I mean, even Yule's is not a necessary pick for her.
Yeah.
Which is why I don't like her. And I think this is why I don't like her as a safe lane carry, is I think she... Her item build is so flexible, she can still be effective.
The safe lane is better used on somebody else.
I think it's a better use on somebody who really needs a couple items.
Yeah. Okay, Ben,
Yes.
Do you recommend Death Prophet?
I would. Would you?
I'm gonna give her one of these.
Yeah, these are definitely a buy.
Definitely a buy, Ben.
What does that mean? So you would recommend her?
Oh, absolutely. Okay. I love Death Prophet. I think she's one of the. I just click with her, Ben. I just get it. I don't know. For whatever reason.
You do. I think that's.
It works well.
That's kind of Dota, isn't it? Like, there's some heroes you're just like, I understand this hero. That this works.
Yes.
And I'm like that with items. See, like I said, Bloodstone, I just don't want to touch it because I just don't get it. I mean, I get it, but
basically,
I don't get it.
Basically, it just helps you with mana issues and you stay dead less.
I mean, I get it, but it just doesn't vibe. It doesn't click. You know, it's just not. I don't know.
You stay dead less and it helps with your mana issues.
I just don't love. I don't love the item.
And you can suicide yourself with it.
I love, like, Butterfly. I love Butterfly.
Well, yeah, it's because you're a right-click carry. You're not going to get Bloodstone on.
Of course not.
Weaver.
But I'm just saying, there's some items that I just don't love. Mm. Like even with Weaver, I don't love Lincolns. I know I need to get Lincolns, but I don't love Lincolns. I get it every time. But
I do like defensive items.
Yeah.
On carries.
Yeah, I don't know. Mm. Anyways, go ahead.
Do you hear that? What is that?
I don't know what's going on in your neighborhood.
It's like there's some sort of jet flying over.
This is why I live on the other side of the tracks.
Yeah.
So.
Okay, item of the week is Shiva's Guard. It costs $4,700. It consists of a mystic staff, a plate mail, and a recipe.
How much is the recipe?
I don't know.
Okay.
I do know that when you form everything into a Shiva's Guard.
When you actually make the item.
Yeah.
Okay.
You get 5 additional armor out of it, Ben.
Oh, it's like bonus armor that comes with the recipe, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There might be some bonus intellect there, but I didn't research that either.
It's good that you're prepared.
You get plus 30 intellect. So, no, a mystic stack gives you plus 25, correct?
I think so. Something, it's in the 20s, I don't know.
So
exactly
you get plus 5 intellect and plus 5 armor with the recipe. Isn't that nice?
It's pretty neat.
Okay, so this comes with a freezing aura, which has a radius of 900. It does a minus 40 attack speed slow.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's like a hyperstone, almost.
I don't know why I don't love this item. But I don't.
I love it. It's great.
I don't like it.
And it also has freezing aura, and this is the real power of this thing, I think. Or no, something blast. I wrote it in there wrong.
Freezing blast?
Emits a freezing wave that does 200 damage to enemies and slows their movement by 40% for 4 seconds. Which, that's really good.
I feel like I should love this item, but I don't love this item.
Yeah, and then it also gives you plus 30 intellect and plus 15 armor.
Yeah. Maybe it's because I don't play intellect heroes very often.
Yeah.
But I still don't love this item.
This is why it's so good on Death Prophet, because yeah. It helps her to do what she does better. She tanks up with it, and then also slows people down so they get caught in her exorcism.
How
for
often
longer.
Do you? Because it's expensive. This item.
Yeah.
How often do you actually choose this item?
I usually go for it as a second item. So like, if I get
you actually, this is your go-to on her, is what you're saying?
No, not my go-to. So like after Yule's, I'll either go for. I typically go for a Bloodstone.
That's what I'm saying. You don't typically go for Shiva's.
Yeah, I go for Shiva's after Bloodstone, typically.
Well, at that point, the game's over, though, right?
Not always.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. I like it, though. It's a good item.
Okay.
Okay. So that's that. And, okay.
This just would never be the item I would go with.
Well, no, because you don't...
But even on Death Prophet, I don't think I would ever go Shiva's. I might go Heart, probably.
You just admitted that you don't play Intellect Heroes, though.
Very often. I do play Death Prophet occasionally.
Okay, good. Okay.
Not enough to not know that she doesn't have an egg scepter ability.
Right.
But occasionally.
Okay. All right. Ben, we've come to the time of the show where we're going to bring in our new special segment.
Well, we didn't recommend or not recommend the item.
Do you recommend the item, Ben?
I do not recommend the item.
You do not recommend it.
Yeah, these are definitely a buy.
What does that mean?
I give it a
buy. Does that mean
buy.
You recommend it?
I do.
So buying the item.
I love it.
You'd like to buy the item.
It's definitely a buy.
With cash, even though it's gold.
Dollars.
You'd like to buy it with dollars, even though it's
you
cool.
Buy it with $4,700.
All right. So what's happening? Is there a surprise on the show today, Brian?
There is a surprise on the show.
What's the surprise?
It's with special guests.
Is going on in your neighborhood?
There's somebody with a saw outside.
Right. And I neighbor. Heard a gunshot like 10 minutes ago.
There was no gunshot.
I think it was.
Get it out of here.
And somebody rode a bike through your backyard. Did you see that? Just rode a bike right
people
through your backyard.
Do whatever they want in my backyard. I don't understand.
This is not safe.
Go anyway, ahead. Ben,
what's the
new
surprise?
Segment. This is the crappiest episode ever, thanks
That's
to you,
probably
Ben.
Good.
New segment featuring friend of the show, Cheeks of Flappin'. We call it Chatting with Cheeks. He even made a special bumper for it. Here it is.
Yeah, do your bumper.
Hello. Welcome to the Den dense and impenetrable web of systemic bullshit we collectively refer to as Dota.
Hey, Cheeks. Hello, Cheeks. Can you hear us?
Yes, I can hear you.
Nice bumper,
Pleasure
Cheeks.
To be on the show.
Welcome what? To the program.
Pleasure to have you.
All right, so we're going to pass the flag to you here, Cheeks. Well, why don't you tell us what's going on with your segment?
He's going to describe his segment.
Yeah.
He's going to tell us what this is.
This is his segment.
I'm excited to hear. I don't know anything about it.
Okay.
I just knew he was supposed to be here.
Right.
What's your segment, Cheeks?
As soon as you stop talking, I'll tell you what it's
about. Wow.
Woo.
You can tell I didn't invite him on the show this time. It must have been you,
Brian. I understand it can be hard to stop chatting with me, though. That's why we started the Chatting with Cheeks segment here. We've got, on the Twitch, on the live stream, we've got various members of the We Like Dota community chatting it up with me.
That's right.
I'm throwing various topics out there as the podcast is going along. And today's main focus on conversation was on Death Prophet.
Ah, yes.
Now, I was looking up some of the lore about Death Prophet, and I got into a discussion with a friend of the show, Last Talon, about whether or not Death Prophet was a medium or a psychic. Because in her lore, it talks about her taking the fortunes of the wealthy because she could see beyond the veil. And so I was like, oh, that seems totally like a psychic to me. And Last Talon was like, she's a medium. Because she has, like, exorcism and stuff like that. So he eventually, you know, convinced me of that. So
fair. I'm not up on my...
totally a medium.
I'm not up on my medium versus psychic designations.
So it's been decided, then?
Yes.
Okay.
Totally a medium.
How does the accent play into that, Cheeks?
Well, see, that's the other part. We got into a... that was the other part of the discussion.
Yeah.
Was what accent does Death Prophet have? And Last Talon said it was a French accent. But when I was listening to it, I was picking up a lot of Eastern European,
Romanian,
sort of Dracula type accent stuff. And so we decided it's a mixture because Last Talon cited the YouTube video of her stuff, and she actually says in French, "I cry," which I don't know how to pronounce in French because I didn't speak French.
Interesting.
So,
Let me ask you this. Did anyone bring up whether she actually lives in a haunted house or not?
There was no discussion of haunted
house.
Just discussion of where she lived.
Okay.
Which Last Town was pretty adamant about it being France. But then I was like, but I thought Dota was like in another dimension or something. I don't know.
Well, maybe in that other
part of the world of Warcraft.
Maybe our worlds are colliding.
Yeah, maybe the Eastern European and maybe it's just all mixed in the Dota world, right? Or it's its own thing. It's just its own thing.
It kind of is. It's kind of like a Star Wars Episode One with all sorts of accents all over the place, even though it's in a completely other dimension.
So you just said that Death Prophet is the Jar Jar Binks of Dota.
Exactly.
Okay.
Mm. Well, I mean, I think more of when I think of the Jar Jar Binks, perhaps the most offensive accent in Dota, I would have to say, is probably Tusk's accent.
Yeah,
don't you think?
Really?
The Norwegian
interesting.
One?
I don't know.
I think it
maybe.
Would be very offensive to Norwegian.
I'm gonna pay attention to that more. I don't play a lot of Tusk, but I'll have
either.
To see.
If we have anyone from the Midwest, any listeners from Minnesota or Michigan, is that offensive to you?
Well, we're actually we're technically the Midwest, aren't we? I mean,
yeah.
Yes, you guys are dangerously close to that zone.
I watched Fargo once.
Oh, yeah.
Well, is that your friend in the chipper there?
I don't find Tusk. My wife is from Michigan, and she doesn't find Tusk offensive.
Your wife's from Detroit-ish.
Well,
like the posh side.
She's from an island. It doesn't really count.
All right.
I didn't know there was a posh side of Detroit. You learn something new every week when you're chatting with Cheeks.
Yeah. It's not part of the same landmass, Cheeks. It's actually not. It's surrounded by water. It's different.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, we'll cover that in our Midwest podcast.
Perfect.
We like the Midwest.
So I think you have some questions for us, right?
I do have some questions. This is the Noobs Ask Noobs. Noobs Ask Noobs segment.
Mm.
Okay.
It's been rolled in for some reason, and I am now the curator of this segment. So
a true man of the people.
Yes.
I didn't get a vote for this. It's okay, though. I like you, Cheeks, so it's fine.
Oh, thank you. All right. Are we ready?
Yes.
I guess so.
Get your thinking caps on, fellas, because here we go.
So now we're not prepped for these questions. This is bad.
Yeah.
Yes. Here we go. So this is a question from friend of the show, An Evil Donkey.
Oh.
He asks, any tips for successfully playing a solo hard lane or off lane? It seems that a lot of the best characters here are Melee, Void, Doom, Centaur, Tide, which seems like a bad combination. I've had a lot of luck with Darkseer, but Ion Shell and Surge make it pretty easy to get solid farm and not die.
Oh, yeah.
I really don't know what I am doing with some of these other guys when I'm solo in lane.
Well, I mean, it depends on what you're going up against. If you're going solo against a tri-lane or a 1v2, you want to make sure you've got somebody who has an escape. You know, if you're a 1v1 lane, I think the big thing you're wanting to have is awareness. You want to make sure that you know if the ganks are coming or not. So having some good team communication can make a big difference. But sometimes, depending on the lane, sometimes your goal is to just get experience for the most part and not die. So it's a different mindset. You want to get the farm that you can get, but you want to make sure you don't get caught out.
Yep.
So I think you just have to kind of change your aggressiveness level in terms of, I want to get levels, I want to not feed, I want to kind of survive into the next phase. There's times where you're going to be solo and you can get farm, but you just have to really think through the situation before you get out of position.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Ben really nailed it there. I think the number one consideration is, as Ben said, making sure you have the right hero. And two, just don't die. That's the big thing with the offlane, is not dying, especially if you're solo. A lot of times there's going to be times where you can see creeps that you want to go and hit and get some farm, but if you do it,
it could be a bad idea.
You're going to get stunned and get killed. So I think staying alive is the biggest deal. And then once you hit level 6, generally you're going to want to start roaming.
Yeah, it just depends. Yeah, it depends a little bit. And you need to make sure if you're playing organized Dota, your team needs to be able to go and back you up when those ganks and stuff are coming around.
Right.
Because you're probably not going to be able to do much against 3 or 4 heroes solo. So
yeah, and a lot of times if you're solo offlane, especially if you're melee, you're going to want to get a stout shield.
Yeah, stout shield is a good item for solo lane for sure. If you're going to be getting picked on quite a bit.
Yeah.
The thing to keep in mind is eventually you're going to be out leveling the other people in your lane as long as you're getting experience.
Right.
So that gives you a little bit more flexibility in terms of trying to get those last hits and everything. But
yeah,
usually you want a level dependent hero if you're up against 2 or 3 in the
right.
In the lane.
Okay. Next question.
All right. The next question comes from Bossanicat or Boss and Icat or Bossanicat.
Okay. Fair.
Okay.
So we're not sure then, huh?
I'm not really sure. It looks like Bossanicat to me. Bossanicat. Right. So anyway, not sure if this question is best for the segment, but what do you think is the most versatile skill in the game?
Oh, my goodness. That's a tough one.
I know. I was actually thinking about this. I'll answer first if you'd like me to.
I didn't know your answer to the question. I'd love to hear your answer, Cheeks.
Well, the first thing that comes to me off the bat... Well, yeah, Cheeks, you go ahead. I'll go next.
Okay. I was thinking about it. I was laying in bed thinking about it the other night. Because I'd read this on Reddit.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking that Sandstorm by Sand King.
Mm,
I thought that was a really, really versatile skill, just because you've got it for farm potential, for jungling and stuff like that. You've got it as an escape mechanism. You can use it to sort of zone out people. Like when I try and play like a Sand King, I try and do like a weird support thing, and I'll try and like get up on the opposite side of the creep line and with some distance between the creeps and kind of zone the heroes out a little bit. Which is probably, you know, the worst possible thing you could do with Sand King, but it's what I like to try and do. I like to think outside the box, guys. So that's what I was thinking. I'd rather think Sandstorm's pretty versatile.
The next one, the one that comes to mind for me is Invoker's Invokability. Because you can have one of like 16 spells or something like that.
I don't know if that's cheating or not to pick that.
I think that's cheating.
Yeah, it feels like it's cheating.
All right, well, I'm just going to go cheating.
Okay.
Ben, Peter, what do you have?
I think that I'm going to go with Shikuchi from Weaver. I like that has a lot of good chase to it. It does some damage, and it also offers the invis and the escape. So, again, if I was to spend some time thinking through this, I might have a different answer. But off the top of my head, I really love that ability.
Mm.
It's a good one.
I do like Dazzle's Shadow Wave. You can heal and damage with it, which is really nice.
Yeah. I heard Shikuchi is like the... what's that all random ability mode called? Ability draft?
Right? Ability draft.
I heard that's like the ability you want to get.
That's the one to get?
That's the one that you want to get. So
that sounds about right.
I'm going to go with that.
Okay, that's fair. All right, next question.
All right, our third and final question comes from friend of the show, Army Rabbit.
So, okay.
I chose this question in particular because I'm an educator. And he mentions in his question here, also, if you guys answer, I will probably use the podcast in a project I have for my English class.
Oh, wow.
If you're okay with that.
Oh, absolutely.
So are you okay with that?
Absolutely.
I'll think about it. No, it's fine.
Doesn't matter what Ben thinks.
It's fine. We can use it, or he can use it.
Okay, so here we go. Here's the question for the English class.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Do you guys think it's possible for sports such as Dota 2, League of Legends, and others to ever be as popular here in the States as they are in other countries like Korea?
Oh, boy. Oh, man. Yes, but in a different way. I guess it depends on how you're measuring it. Like, that's such a broad question, I think.
Yeah, I mean, well, let's assume that he means... Let's go with percentage of the population.
Okay.
Do we think that it's ever going to catch up to that? That type of level of popularity?
Probably not.
Okay. Why not?
That's in comparison to, like, football and baseball and stuff?
No. Let's say that in Korea, for example, let's say that 30% of the... And that's probably way high.
Yeah.
But let's say if 30% of the population says that they're fans of esports in Korea.
Right.
Yeah. Would it there ever be 30% of the American population that would say that?
Yeah, I think so.
Because he was asking about America, correct, Cheeks? In the States?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Do you think so?
Yeah, I definitely think so. I think for whatever reason, streaming technology and everything has become so good that, you know, professional events that are put on are finally getting, you know, some notoriety. And, you just watch them on Twitch or whatever. And in Korea, they put them on TV, correct? I mean, that's why it's been such a big hit in Korea. They put them on TV because they're Koreans. And
it doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't. But for whatever reason, that previously never really flew in America. You know, you never really saw video games.
But
on
now
TV.
That they're on ESPN, it's going to happen?
No. I'm saying that because Twitch is around, the amount of viewers, you know, it's hitting an untapped population in America.
Yeah.
So there's all these people who are interested in watching esports but had no way of watching them, and now they do.
But how does the rest of the population catch on? So those who wanted to watch it are watching it.
Yeah, I'm saying that's the same amount of the population as it is in Korea.
You're saying it's already the same?
No. Oh. I'm saying it's getting to that level. Like, there's as many people in Korea who are watching esports as the potential is in America for that to happen.
100% disagree.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's a cultural difference.
Mm-hmm.
I think just if you look at different cultures, look at them politically, look at the things that they value. I think one of the things that Americans tend to value is individualism, right? And so I think that American individualism, American pioneerism in terms of we always want to explore new things.
Yeah.
I think we might be more diverse in our interests than some other countries are.
Hmm.
I'm not saying that's good or bad. It's just a thing. But I think that that's going to prevent. I think we're also very, soccer hasn't caught on, right? So we tend to want to do things that are different than other countries in some ways. So we've got our American football.
So we've got our baseball. You're kind of getting at America as a hive mind.
I think will it catch on some other countries? Yes, but I think America. I think our cultural identity is maybe not conducive to us really grabbing on to something that is popular from other countries. Because we're kind of jerks. We want to be American.
How are we defining popularity, though?
The way we defined it at the beginning of the question. Let's say 30% of Korea watches it. Well, 30% of Americans define themselves.
I totally disagree with your argument, then.
No, I don't think that's going to happen. I mean, I think that we like to have our own things.
Yeah.
And I think Dota is such a shared thing that I don't think Americans will latch on to it.
Okay, here's my argument, though.
Yeah.
I think you're thinking of this in a different way, as like, you know, like our parents watching Dota or something like that.
But they would have to be, right?
Are parents in Korea watching esports?
I don't know. I think more so, I know that in some other countries, and I can't speak for Korea in particular, but some other countries, some politicians have come out as fans of esports, and there's some different things culturally happening.
I think there's a big enough audience of gamers and people who are interested in watching esports that with the rise of Twitch, that audience that previously was not able to participate or watch in esports are now also watching.
Of course, but it's never going to hit the heights that it is in a place like Korea.
Okay.
I think the cultural identity of Americans will prevent that. Okay. I think that just entertainment-wise, you have a small percentage of Americans that are willing to participate in things that are shared experiences. I think this is a weakness of Americans. Mm. I'm not saying this is a positive.
No, I'm not. Yeah.
But you look at British television, Doctor Who, right? It's popular in America, but it's never going to be as popular as Star Wars is in America, because Star Wars is an American thing. Right,
and if you look I don't know. I think Doctor Who has a pretty big following.
You look at soccer; it does have a good following. It's still, but it's smaller than you would think. Right, soccer, okay, for example.
Soccer hasn't caught on
in America. I think there's something in our American identity and cultural identity, that will prevent esports from becoming a thing.
Hmm.
And I don't know if it's just because we like to. Everybody in America likes to have their own interests, and that's something, or if it's because Americans are resistant to things that are shared world experiences, but I think there's an element of that too.
Yeah.
I think it's in there. And I don't have statistical evidence, but just from what I've noticed, it seems like in some ways that American individualism, that idea and that mentality could hurt, would prevent things from ever hitting the percentage that we see in other countries in terms of, of esports following. That's my
argument. If you look at the design of these games, they're Western games, or based off of Western games, which I think is really interesting. And it's fascinating that they've taken, they've taken such a big hold, a big root as a part of Eastern sort of like entertainment and culture and stuff like that.
That is incredibly interesting. That's very, very,
is weird.
That is a good point. But I don't think the esports culture is a Western esport culture, right? It's caught on other places much faster than America.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think my prediction is give it 50 years. So when we're in our 80s, I think it's a generational shift thing that has to occur.
That's interesting. Because
I kind of feel like since we're Generation X, or I'm Generation X anyway, and then you've got the millennials coming after Generation X, and millennials grew up with this stuff and are going to be a lot more open to it. And so I feel like, by the time we get to that point, 50 years down the road, I think it could have a potential to be that, evolve into something as big as maybe professional sports.
Yeah.
I think it will get bigger. Yeah, don't get me wrong. I think it will get bigger, and I think it will even catch up to some of the pro sports. I mean, you look at something like hockey. I think it's within reach of hockey.
Mm, yeah.
Or golf or tennis or those type of things. I just don't think the penetration rate is going to be to the degree we see in other countries.
Right.
So will it grow in America? No doubt. Is there something about our cultural identity that's going to prevent that from growing in the same way? Maybe. I mean, we don't have internet cafes.
Yeah.
Some of just the way that gaming works in our country is different. We don't have as many shared experiences in gaming in general, right? It tends to be in the privacy of your own office.
Does it? Well, yeah, this is another question.
I mean, that's a difference in a lot of countries. A lot of countries have internet cafes.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you are with other people who are doing these things, and you're going to play the game that the other people in the internet cafe are playing, right? I mean, that's a totally different cultural thing that's going to play into the popularity.
Well, let me ask you this. Does our identity as a country even matter in this equation? With the rise of the internet, who cares? You know, we've got Cheeks talking to us from Washington. He could as very well be in, jolly old London or something like that.
It still matters because the internet is so individual here in America, right? The individual, it's an individual thing. Where does it happen? It happens on your smartphone. It happens in your office. It's not happening as a social event as much, right? It's happening on the internet.
Which is my argument why it doesn't matter. Who cares if it's popular in America or not? It's popular with individuals in America.
Right, but there's no viral, or not as much of a viral thing. The viral things that are happening are limited to what happens on Twitter and Facebook and those social media events.
Yeah, that's true.
There's not much exposure. We live close to a college campus, right? Even us as Dota players, if we're walking through the student union of the college campus and we see a bunch of people playing video games, we're like, that's a little awkward, right? Because it's not a normal thing in our society to have group gaming experiences. I think it's awkward, and I'm a gamer.
Okay, I don't think that's awkward.
You don't think it's weird? No. In our culture?
To play a video game on a laptop?
In the middle of an eating center? That's a little different in our society.
What's weird about that?
Or the guy who drags his iMac into to Panera?
Well, that's weird.
But it's weird in our country to have gaming in public, I think is what I'm trying to say. It's a different type of thing.
Really?
I think the internet cafe...
Let's talk about that. I think you have some issues here, Ben.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe you can disagree with me on this.
All right. Well,
he is the internet's curmudgeon.
I think that's another... Yeah. I feel like we could talk about this for another half hour, so...
That's fine. I think we should just go on to another topic. There. I think it's an interesting question. It's a great question for an English class.
Yeah. Okay. What's next, Cheeks?
Well, that's the third and final question I have for Noobs Ask Noobs. I would like to invite the rest of the We Like Dota community to the live stream of this podcast next week to be involved with chatting with Cheeks.
Yeah.
Get in here. Let's discuss. I threw out some topics this week to just give you a little sample of some of the things that I threw out there just as we're waiting for the conversations to get rolling. Let me see. I have to go way, way back. Oh, it's not even there. Aww. Anyway.
Did you have any?
There's all sorts of interesting topics. Should Ben lose the goatee, and if so, should Brian grow one?
No,
you know, just public opinion polls and stuff.
These are questions that you threw out.
Conversations,
okay.
And the hard-hitting questions. Some good discussions here.
Okay.
Did you have any corrections or any research that you happened to do on things we had no idea what we were talking about?
Honestly, I was mostly just chatting, so that's I wasn't fine. Paying attention that's... much to the podcast, which is fine because it gives me that's something to listen there. To this week as I go to work.
Hanging out in the chat room there, throwing peanuts at everybody.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, you called it chatting with Cheeks, so that's fine.
And you also, well, curate the Noobs Ask Noobs questions.
Curate, not moderate.
Right.
Yeah.
It's unmoderated, that's, unfiltered.
That's right, baby.
Nasty as you want to be.
Okay, all right. Well, thanks a lot, Cheeks.
Does he have an out bumper? Probably not.
No.
Okay. Thanks, Cheeks.
Out bumpers aren't a thing. Okay.
Out bumpers are totally a thing.
Cheeks, is there anywhere online you want people to follow you?
You can follow me at CheeksAflappin, all one word, on Twitter.
Fantastic. Okay. Ben, where can we find you on Twitter?
At Dota Yadneb on Twitter.
Okay.
And then obviously on the podcast and the Reddit.
Right. Yes, follow We Like Dota on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch. The time for recording has kind of been changing a little bit here and there, but, you know, just...
It sounds like Cheeks is going to be great about putting up when we're going to start.
Yeah, so that's good.
Look for his Reddit post, I guess.
Jared is on vacation and is working on the We Like Dota League rules, so we will have them ready to go and official and... our stamp of approval on him by next week at this time.
He, in fact, is spending his vacation just doing that.
He took a vacation just to do the rules.
I hope not.
Yeah.
I hope he's actually going to enjoy his vacation.
Yeah, he will.
Unlike me, who got drug here.
Right. And, okay, we're also switching over to a new website, so there might be some weirdness with WeLikeDota.com this week.
Oh, boy.
But we're working on that. It'll be a great website, and...
We actually sold it to Cash for Gold Place.
That's right.
Because they're starting to get into the internet a little bit more.
We're cashing in, baby. Yeah,
the cash for gold places are all over the internet.
So, and there's some other things for the We Like Dota League that front of the show Bunny is collecting, you know, stuff for a compendium website and all that. So check that out at welikedota.reddit.com. And I think that's all. Our theme music comes from Michael Edwards of the Flipping Table podcast. I definitely suggest you check them out. And I think that's it. We will see you guys next week.